Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When my wife Jillian and I were in college, like many unencumbered young adults, we both enjoyed our fair share of road trips. Sometimes it was concerts or mission trips or just going to see fellow college friends at their homes because we had the weekend free. It was easy to just hit the road. The only thing you had to worry about was finding someone who had a car and making sure you had a little bit of gas and food money. However, more recently, with our three small children, our road trips have been a lot less willy-nilly, and typically we've planned them far in advance. But this past Wednesday at lunch, we made a spur-of-the-moment decision. We had earlier, when we went down to Cincinnati, looked at some houses, and later on we made an offer on a house, but unfortunately we learned early this week that it fell through. And we weren't really satisfied with any of the other houses we had seen on our first trip, so we had to start figuring out how Jillian was going to get down to Cincinnati and look at some houses. We were talking to her parents and figuring out when we might be able to do it, but the more and more I thought about it, I didn't want her to drive alone with all the kids, and I wanted to see the houses too. Well, we were talking and realizing that next week, this upcoming week is really busy, and then Lent starts the following week, and so it wasn't going to get any easier. So we decided on Wednesday at lunch that we were going to drive to Cincinnati and back in between Thursday and Saturday. So we spent the last 3 days practically living in the car and traveling over 2,000 miles. Now, it was quite a whirlwind, and we're still probably recovering a little, but because it was so spontaneous, and because Jillian's parents played a big role when we're awesome and let us drop the kids off in Illinois, it sort of felt, to Jillian and I, we were talking, it felt kind of like a college road trip. We were sleep-deprived, rushed, and sore, but we were happy, especially yesterday, we were happy to have made the trip, because we found a house and finished negotiations and signed for it, and so we know where we will be living, and that's a huge relief to both of us. Well, all that excitement and that road trip kind of ties in to our gospel lesson a little bit this morning. In our gospel lesson, we see Jesus doing some very exciting things, similarly on a tight schedule. In fact, it seems like he doesn't even sleep from what we can read. Preaching, healing diseases, and casting out demons. In fact, Jesus was experiencing a lot of success and more than a bit of excitement. But at the end of the gospel lesson, just when Jesus really starts cruising, he abruptly leaves. He tells the people who try to keep him to stay, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." The first thing that reminds me of is that Jesus was, we might say, a pilgrim on a road trip, a mission, just like Jillian and I were, but the second thing makes his journey vastly different, uncomparable really to ours. Jillian and I were on a journey to find a house, but Jesus was going to journey for 1 to 3 years, depending on who you listen to, and was going to remain homeless that entire time. Jesus' journey will include far more than an uncomfortable seat and sore back. Plus, he's not enduring this pain for something he's going to get. He's enduring all of this at his expense, but for us. In our gospel lesson, the people expect and want Jesus to set up shop and get acclimated and comfortable living in a new town. But comfort and pleasures of settling in are the last thing on Jesus' mind. He's living out of his suitcase, we might say, for the next bit, because one day he knows where he's eventually going, and it's not to find a house, but to one day be betrayed or abandoned by his closest friends, handed over to his enemies, and killed in about the most cruel way ever invented. Jesus is a man on a mission. Even from the get-go, we see early in the Gospels that Jesus knows that his journey will take him to the cross and to his death. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is on a pilgrimage to a place no one else in their right mind would ever aim for. He's on limited time because he knows the Father's plans for him. And it's not just to preach to one town, but to all of Israel, to plant the seeds of the kingdom that are only going to take root and bear fruit after his death, resurrection, and ascension. Jesus' life was not about acquiring wealth or enjoying retirement or settling in. It wasn't about getting comfortable, but about sharing the good news and working to see God's kingdom come. Now, we are certainly can't be exactly like Jesus. Nevertheless, we too are God's people. And sometimes we get a little too caught up in being comfortable and getting stuff as opposed to following God or seeing his kingdom come. Well, Jesus not only follows this policy of seeing God's will first, but he teaches his disciples the same lesson over and over through a variety of ways. Just as Jesus never got too comfortable or never quite got settled into this world, you and I, we will never quite fit in to this world. And we shouldn't. We are called to be different, which is, after all, what the word holy means. It means, the word holy simply means separate or set apart. Early on, God taught the Israelites that he was a different sort of God than the gods of the nations around him. Not only was he different in his character, but he wanted very different things out of them. He tried to teach the Israelites to be a holy nation in the right sense of the word, a people set apart for a good purpose from those around him. God continues in the New Testament to teach his disciples that they are a bit different, that God has called them not because they are better, but because his plan is better. The people come to Jesus to try to convince him to stay, but he says, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns, for I was sent for this purpose." You see, Jesus tells the people it's not about what we want. It's about what God wants and what we need, which is a new way of life in Christ. In fact, sometimes the best thing for us is not to get what we want, but to learn to submit to God. Because if we always got what we want, we wouldn't have to have any faith, right? We would never have to lean on God to take care of us if we weren't in any sort of trouble or situation. God can use any and many and various ways to do that. One way he can use the situation that I am in, that Redeemer is in, is I know that I have been doing a lot of praying because we're going into unfamiliar territory, our family is, and to new situations, and I know that the same is true for Redeemer. And it can be a real positive when it teaches us to trust more in our Savior. If we find our fulfillment and our satisfaction in this life, or in some of the circumstantial things, we'll never fully develop the trust that God wants us to have, and the sense and to have the knowledge that God not only promises that he's going to take care of us, but knowing in our lives that he does in fact fulfill his promise and he takes care of us. But the gospel lesson is certainly primarily about Jesus and his mission. Jesus is not living his life for the normal things that the world around him is living for. He's not, for instance, living for his paycheck or profit. You see, the gospel is not nearly so cheap or trivial as simply to be reduced to a job or an institution. Jesus came not simply to help the community out a little bit, but he came to transform the world. He came to damn the shallow and corrupt and empty idols of his age, and ours for that matter, and to revive and restore a broken and shattered creation. This world doesn't just need a slight tweak. It needs to be completely redone, redeemed, and saved. That's the dramatic and universal mission that Jesus was not going to accomplish by staying in Capernaum, by giving in to what the crowds wanted. It could only be accomplished through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. The cross of Christ alone could be the crucible whereby life and death were forever remade and defeated by the Son of God. And that's what our lives are about as well. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, it's what Redeemer is about. For instance, we building projects, all the boards that we have, our services, Bible studies, kids programs, preschool, and anything and everything else that we do here, those things are not the main point. In fact, if they ever become the main point, then we know that something needs to be fixed. The main point is Jesus and what he has done for us and what he's continuing to do for us. All those things we have set up to help serve that purpose. Our lives, our boards, our church, they're not just our own, but they're Jesus's. And the good news is that because they're Jesus's, he is going to take care of us. He promises that he will be with us through any and every situation and will continue to lead and guide us so long as we lean and trust in him. Well, throughout the gospel accounts, we can see that Jesus is constantly moving about, moving towards a specific goal, the reconciliation of the world through the cross of Christ. Sometimes people wonder, a lot of the details in this gospel lesson for today, for instance, that kind of confuse us. Like, why does Jesus tell the demons to be quiet? Why doesn't he want them to tell people that he's the Christ? Or why doesn't he stay when the people want him to hear him? Well, it's all because Jesus has a bigger goal and purpose. He has the cross in mind, and he knows that he can't stay put for forever because the cross is where he is going. Jesus was on a journey that no one else in the history of the world, be it before or after, would ever be qualified to make, to atone for our sins. He was on a journey no one else would be willing to make, to endure all the hatred and malice and evil of this world in his humiliating crucifixion. He was on a journey, and that journey was harrowing, filled with suffering, but also with salvation. You see, Jesus counted the cost. He knew the price. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane that he anticipated and agonized over his future agony, even before it started. But he did so saying, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." He did so for you. He paid the price for your sins because he loved you. God loves you and sent his only son to die so that you might live. And thank the Lord that Jesus did successfully complete his journey and mission, as harrowing and difficult as it was. And now he has set all of us on a journey as the Church of Christ, a journey that sometimes is filled with stress and difficult. Sometimes we feel different. We feel alone and left out because we are different than the world around us. But if we continue to listen to his words, repent of our sins, and love others as he did, we know that at the end of this journey is something that is worth every heartache and headache and backache along the way. Because at the end of our journey is Jesus, our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name, amen.